DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and I hope entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Well, good afternoon. Yes, I'm here. I am in the studio. It is a glorious day, and I want to share it with you. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And on Saturdays, we're here talking about your pets. Sometimes it might be your granddaughter's pet, but this show is all about your calls and spending time with you and talking and answering questions. It doesn't always have to be a concern, but just sometimes a clarification. As you know, I alternate on Saturdays with Lori Fass that really answers most of your training questions. But we're here, and I want to welcome you. I know today we're welcoming in August. It's headed towards the end of summer. I think we've actually started adding days from our summer solstice. We're actually losing some daylight, but let's enjoy what we have here for this nice weather. It's absolutely gorgeous out there, low humidity. So probably many of you are out and about or vacationing. And, you know, if that's the case and you are just driving around, don't hesitate to pull over to the side of the road since it is so comfortable out there and give us a call because I really enjoy speaking with you. It's why we're here. It's our purpose. And so give me a call at 860-522-9842. That's 860-522-WTIC. So one of the sayings that's out there is that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And I believe that. And even in my profession as taking care of pets and dealing with a species or several species that cannot communicate through their words, I look at the eyes all the time, and I'm sure you do as well. I'm sure, you know, they kind of like, we talk about you're going to get puppy eyes or you're going to get loving eyes. But there is so much that the eyes tell us about the health of the pet as well as how they're feeling. And I want to use the month of August to kind of bring to you different eye diseases that I see pretty commonly. But first, before we start talking about the different diseases that can affect the eyes that you can pick up early, and usually the earlier you pick something up, the better the chronic treatment is over time, or sometimes it can even just be an eye infection, but you can save an eye if you kind of jump into, you know, high gear, have eyes seen. I usually tell people that if they call, and my staff knows this, if they call about one of their their pets that can't open their eye, we consider that an emergency. We don't wait until, you know, a couple days later, see if it gets better. If there's an eye that's winking at you or an eye that they cannot open fully, it's obviously a sign of pain and discomfort. That is what I would consider needs to be urgent care and needs to be seen. So one of the things, so start looking at their eyes. How many times do you find you're looking in their eyes and you see that material crustiness in the corner of the eye? We call that the medial canthus of the eye. And you kind of like want to kind of break that away. And when you do that, that hurts. So if you do see that you do have a pet that does tend to get a daily accumulation of just discharge, make sure you clean it. Make sure you take a cotton ball, just put it under warm water, really soak it, and then give it a squeeze, and then just put that warm, watered cotton ball up against that eye, inside the corner of the eye, and that will soften that discharge. And if you can clean their eyes every day, especially the ones that really need it, you will be able to take the time to look into the eyes. You know, you've got the eyelids, which is kind of what we're talking about, the area that you're going to clean in the inside corner. You always know that white of the eye that we call the sclera. And then, of course, you've got the iris and the pupil. And if you first look at the white of the eye, you want to make sure it does look white. If it looks yellowish, that's usually a sign of jaundice or liver issues. That's a reason why you want to have them seen. If the eye has the white of the eye all of a sudden has all these white blood vessels, that's something, or red blood vessels, that's also an issue that you need to bring to your attention, or if it's just a bright, bright red. So the white of the eye is important, as well as the colorful part of the eye that does have that pupil. Always want to make sure the pupils are the same size. The right is the same size as the left. The cornea, which has normally should be clear, if it starts to look cloudy, another reason why they should be seen. It's not as much of as an emergency as it is when they cannot open up their eye, but it's still something that should be seen. Even if they're having an appointment three weeks down the line, 3 months down the line, that you know, oh, I'm going to get my my dog or my cat is ready for their vaccines in 3 months, we'll have the eye seen then. I'm just trying to alert you to when it needs to be seen as a separate visit, and because you need to be seen right away. One of the diseases that we do see quite a bit is something called glaucoma. Now, humans and dogs both get glaucoma. It's something, you know, you've heard of from your eye doctor, if you go to an eye doctor. That's because they have the same condition. They can develop the same condition. It's currently the most common cause of blindness in our canine patients. The diagnosis, though, is required. You do need a veterinarian to do the testing. In dogs, we look for like an elevation in what we call intraocular pressure. That means that pressure inside the eye, it starts to get really big, and it can start to damage the retina and the optic nerve and lead to blindness. I think there are two kinds of glaucoma, though. The first one is caused by a genetic predisposition, and the second happens when a dog has another condition that triggers the eye, and cats, because cats get this as well. So for secondary glaucoma, something like a cataract can cause that. Now remember, a cataract is a real thickening and of the lens of the eye, that's inside the eye. But you can get it from a retinal detachment, inflammation, tumors. Again, we talked about cataracts because the lens becomes unstable, and there are certain breeds that are more at risk. We do see with glaucoma, Cocker Spaniels are high on the list. Beagles, Basset Hounds, Boston Terriers, French Bulldogs are just a few that I wanted to name. But, and those of you that kind of always have had Beagles or always have had Boston Terriers, you know this. You know that this is something that you have to kind of watch out for. And even though dogs tend to hide their distress, glaucoma can be very painful. So again, going back to looking at the eyes, if the white part of the eye looks like a beet red, and especially if the cornea has got a transparent kind of cloudy blue look to it, this is something that we know is often a sign of glaucoma. They may squint again, it's a reason to go see a veterinarian with them. And they can sometimes even scratch at their eye. And there are multiple treatments. It's a disease that we treat quite regularly. One of the first steps is we want to try topical ointments and topical drops so we can regulate that pressure. And typically, a patient will use them until they lose sight in that eye. And it has to be you have to be prepared that might happen, that the sight will go. But it's also about controlling the pain. And if the glaucoma, we can't control the glaucoma with medication, usually surgery is something that we have to consider because of the pain. When I'm talking about that, in human standards, the pressure from the glaucoma can feel anywhere from a headache to an intense migraine. And we know that because dogs do have very similar pain receptors as we do. And we know how humans are also feeling when they have glaucoma. Now, the only surgery that's available is to remove the eye because you just can't control the glaucoma. And people just get so squeamish when we talk about that. But almost to the dog, to the cat, anytime we have a situation where the pain is that bad and we're talking about surgery, whenever we do the surgery and have to remove an eye, these patients do so much better. They're happier, they're less painful. They learn how to live with one eye. And unfortunately, some have to have both eyes removed, and they're just happy. They're playing with their toys again. And I know sometimes it's just, it makes us squeamish, but they are comfortable and they're happy. So if you ever are faced with looking at these kind of symptoms or you're faced with this diagnosis, just know that there's treatments and there's surgical procedures that can make sure that they are feeling back to normal. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. The real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
We are enjoying summer. Especially when the days are like today, and I'm sure many of you are out and about because of the gorgeous weather. I guess it's getting close to 80 degrees, but it's dry, and it's the kind of weather we enjoy here periodically in Connecticut. We got rid of all that humidity from last week, but we know it's going to come back. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. Continue to come in on Saturday afternoons to bring you up to date on the latest information that we have in veterinary medicine to make sure we answer your calls. And I have open phone lines because no one has called in yet. So if you have not had an opportunity to speak on the air or just discuss something about your pet, this is the time to do it because we have the time and we have the space. So please, I'm welcoming you to call in at 860-522-WTIC and we will take your calls. One thing that did pop up in the news that is concerning, and yes, it's on the West Coast, but in the last 2 weeks, 7 dogs in the Venice canals have died and 11 more have been hospitalized with a very, what we're calling a mysterious illness. It's a neighborhood that is very pet oriented, and they have seen not only these dogs unfortunately pass away, but they're seeing sudden onset of lethargy. These dogs are down and out, nausea, seizures, diarrhea, some other symptoms too. And the thing that seems to be the common thread, that it, again, we don't know what's causing it, but the common thread seems to be walking along the canals. So with that being said, there's this time of year, one of the things that we see here in Connecticut too, is we have something called cyanobacterial hepatotoxicosis. And what this is, the cytobacteria is a photosynthetic organism that exists in fresh, brackish, and even salt water worldwide. It's often referred to as blue-green algae. And I've spoken about this usually this time of year before, because we have had dogs that got very sick, some that it became fatal when they did go into this type of water. And this intoxication occurs from swimming in these areas of water, or even drinking them. And I even know some dogs that they go swimming in this area, and it doesn't always have to look green. That's why the blue-green algae name is not really as appropriate. Because again, sometimes the water can even be clear. Sometimes it has a pink hue to it. But sometimes when dogs go swimming, and they lick their hair, and they will get this contaminated water that can also cause them injury and death. And we've seen this in dogs and horses as well. So this is something that, again, that's one of the things they're suspecting, and they're testing now for out there in California. But getting back to here, because this is still something I want you to be aware of, I want you to keep your eyes out for. I know a lot of you love to let your dog swim in fresh water, but you do need to be careful. I live at the end of a cul-de-sac, and we have a waterway behind our house. And I've got to tell you, it looks like a bright green pea soup. It looks disgusting. It doesn't have an odor to it, but I would never let any of my pets go into that water. I would not have a human go near it. And it's so I can't say for sure if it has this cyanobacterial component to it, but it looks bad. We even have bears, and I know some bears have been tracking through that water, and I wonder if this is going to be harmful for them, but I don't know. We have so many bears, but they just cool off in that water as well. In some cases, this cyanobacteria can cause we call them blooms. They're very visible. You can really see it in the water. It's referred to as benthic mats. And this blue-green is associated with that pea soup appearance. But like I said, it can cause a variety of different color changes, from a deep green to a red or a pink. And in some cases, cause no visual change. And that's what they're saying out in California, that the water looks clear. But what we want to make sure is that these individuals, and you as well, when you're walking, don't let your dogs drink from these types of water, from the stagnant bodies of water too. We had a really heavy rain yesterday or 2 days ago. You don't want them to stop and lick from those puddles, just in general. But especially if you have these swimming holes that start to have this green, blue-green appearance to it, that's really very dangerous. But if that does happen, so your dog does get off the leash and runs into a waterway, and you need to, you don't want to panic, but you're wondering, what should we do next? The first thing I would do is really bring them home and make sure you kind of rinse off as much of that as you can. Just give them a nice bath, get rid of all that water that was on their skin, make sure that they're in a good situation where they're as clean as possible, but keep them on a leash. Maybe it was about 4 or 5 years ago, I thought there was a place in Bolton that really had to have, they actually had to shut down because of this. And because people obviously can get this disease as well. So these toxins can cause skin problems. We talked about the liver, the neurologic condition. Sometimes you'll see, if you see that your dog is breathing kind of really heavy, you need to make sure that they are seen as an emergency with the veterinarian, because of this, and let them know that this indeed is something that you suspect, you've heard about it, you've seen a discoloration to the water, and need to keep them nice and seen effectively and seen as soon as possible. When we see them, when we as veterinarians are trying to diagnose, because again, sometimes our patients can't obviously tell us exactly how they're feeling, we go based on the history of exposure to the water, especially if there's a discoloration in that. And most commonly, it is that bluish-green color or that pea soup look to it. And clinical signs, again, can occur within minutes to a few hours of the exposure. That's why if you can rinse them off with clean water as soon as possible, please do that. Then the other issues are, what other signs? You have vomiting, you have diarrhea, this weakness. They can look pale. You know, look at the gums and see if they're turning white. And sometimes they will just collapse. And that's from what we call hypovolemic shock. And the patients that survive may, sometimes they'll vomit first, and then they seem like they're getting better. And then 12 hours later, they do tend to then show some of these other symptoms, including becoming jaundiced and becoming that yellow look. And again, remember going back to the eyes, how do you know if one of your pets have this yellowish look to them? You look in the eyes and you can look in the gums. Sometimes this will also lead to kidney failure. So again, this is called cyanobacterial, but again, most commonly a cyanobacterial hepatotoxicosis, which is a long phrase, but often it is accused to as the blue-green algae poisoning, and we have to be very careful. So keep your dogs on the leash, especially around that type of water. We're going to take our news break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob and any of you that are going to call in today. All right, we'll be back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. Welcome back. You are listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk, where we're talking about some green diseases in that music. Very appropriate for the blue-green toxicity that we were talking, the blue-green algae that we were talking about in the water that looks like pea soup. Many thanks to Justin Levine for isolating that song and picking that out for our bumper music. Welcome back to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and we are live in the studio. We are taking phone calls. And because of that, we're going to make sure that Bob does not wait any longer, because he was in the queue even before our commercial break. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Dr. Dennis. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I have a 7-year-old adopted cat. I adopted her when she was around a year and a half, 2 years old, from a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was assured at the time that she was checked out by a vet, and she was very healthy, and there were no issues, because that was the first thing I asked.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So at any rate, it wasn't shortly after I adopted her that I realized that she was having problems with her teeth.
Okay.
So I couldn't find a vet. I had a local vet, I live in Waterbury, a local vet that I use that does not do dentists. So I wound up finding one in Burlington, Connecticut,
yeah,
which did a good job for $2,000.
Okay.
And what to remove some of her teeth, obviously. And I haven't had a problem with that. However, the allergy issues continue.
Okay.
I'm complaining. I've literally spent probably close to $5,000 on this cat, because
wow,
I'm an old man, and when I take an obligation, I don't drop it, right?
Right.
So at any rate, and I love the cat, there's no question about that. What it boils down, she's been on steroids. At one point, I was going every 3 months. Now it's gone to 6 or 7 months for the vet visit.
Okay.
And the veterinarian, I seems very competent, but not to the point that she's solving the issues. Okay.
Right.
She gets these big bumps on her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I feed her right now Select Protein, which goes for $100 a bag.
Yes.
I was told don't give her any poultry, so she gets no chicken. And have whatever I buy any food for her, it should be not necessarily the expense of select protein, but individual proteins, right?
Right.
So they recommended rabbit, venison, mm-hmm. which are both hard to find and expensive.
Yeah.
But I look for it, and I have found some of them.
Okay.
So I've mm-hmm. the trouble is, she will eat the dry protein. This is raw cane in the dry select. That's rabbit pea.
Okay.
However, when I give her the canned protein, which is almost the same brand as that, she puts her nose up to it. And these go for $4.50 a can. Is that right? More than a man's, a person's tuna fish. You know, unbelievable.
It is.
So,
it is.
I've tried some of the better known brands. I've tried beef. And she'll eat all these things. She loves all these things.
Right.
And the next day, she's crying at night, and I see she has bumps on her. It's
okay.
just, it's a vicious circle.
It
is. It's been going on for 5 years.
Yeah. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating. I don't know what the answer is.
Well
maybe
the,
you have some suggestions.
I
again,
do.
She's had steroid shots.
Yes.
She's had all kinds of blood tests.
Right.
You know,
right.
And when she gets the steroid shot, she's good for 6 weeks. I guess it just knocks whatever it is out.
It knocks out the inflammation, which is, you know, which is why she's itchy. So then at least you don't see the symptoms. What I see this quite often, Bob, both in cats and dogs, allergies. And the first thing when I'm seeing my a new client or a new patient, I have the conversation with the owners that we're not going to cure this. Any type of allergy like this, it's called atopy, any type of allergy, we can't cure, but we're going to do our best to control it. Unfortunately,
right.
we have some wonderful oral medication for dogs now that's come out like maybe about 12 years ago, and it's just changed the lives of so many of my allergy dogs. We're still in a, and it's not a steroid because you know all the side effects, that potential side
right,
effects.
Right.
Okay. So we use steroids. They're cheap, but we use them sparingly because we want to try to prevent any long-term damage on the body. But again, with dogs, we have a lot of options. With cats, we're not so lucky. So now let's go to your baby.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, going with the food, I believe if we have a food that she likes, and I'm fine if a cat just wants to eat dry food, especially with this high quality select protein that you're talking about, I'm okay with just giving them dry food. So I think, and I like being, if she's eating it and it's truly hypoallergenic food, then I would stay with it and I wouldn't necessarily switch around. That's one thing. Does that, can that fit into your
yes.
kind of, okay.
I probably give human traits to an animal. I've always said animals,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And I realize they're not humans. And
yes.
I figure I can't eat the same food all the time.
Right.
So I like to alternate.
I'm so glad you said that, Bob, because that's exactly right. This is our fault because we put that human, you know, that human quality, our human senses, and then we got to have that variety. But with her, well, first of all, the bumps. Does she ever get bumps on her ears, on the top of her head? Does her head ever break out?
No, not really. It's usually in her belly.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's, and does your veterinarian, sometimes you can get these bumps, but then they get infected, and that makes them even itchier. Has she ever needed steroids?
Well, I've got medication that I spray on that.
Oh, okay.
When it gets real bad.
Okay. All right, and you does she lick it?
I guess it numbs it. I assume that's what it does.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, that would be kind of rare for it to just be a numbing cream. I would think it probably has an antibiotic or a little topical steroid.
Hold on a second. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, you do. And then in the meantime, too, does she bite at it? Does she lick excessively? Does she scratch at it?
She scratches. When she's, we have the picture cycles.
Yeah.
When she's in a bad cycle, she does a lot of scratching. When she doesn't, it stops. This is called Vetercin, V-E-T-E-R-R-I-C-Y-N.
Yeah. It doesn't numb it. Vetercin doesn't numb it. It's just it kind of keeps the bacteria and the yeast quiet. What we call the secondary opportunistic organisms that come into an area on top of the allergies.
Well, here's another one that I was given by this one. That I got myself online.
Okay.
Another one has pads. It's by D-O-U-X-Y-S-3, and it's called antiseptic antifungal.
Right.
And it's pads.
Yes. Yeah. Because
does that ring a bell to you?
It does. And the thing, but that's going to get the secondary bacteria and yeast because so the allergies are kind of weakening the skin. That's what the allergy is doing. And it's got all this, you know, it's releasing all this, enzymes that kind of just make the cat so itchy. And the more they lick and the more they scratch, it kind of opens up the little holes in the skin. And then bacteria and yeast in particular will get in there. And that's what those things that you're spraying on her is going to control those secondary organisms. But we still want to get back, what can we do to try to control the main issue too, which is her allergies?
Okay.
You know, and to have, if we're controlling her, well, first I would stick with one food and I would stay with it if we can. Beef, to me, beef is one of the biggest culprits out there to kind of react, a cat is reactive to and becomes allergic to. I don't like beef. So that's why I love the pea and rabbit. I think if we can stick with that and she'll only eat dry, give her some dry in the morning, dry at night. If she needs a few kernels during the day, that would make life easy about the food. Yes, it's expensive, but at least you wouldn't be wasting anything. She likes it.
Well, I don't even care about the money, frankly.
I know. Okay.
You say morning and night. I leave a bowl there all the time.
Oh, okay. Is she overweight or she controls her weight pretty well?
In fact, I wish she put on weight.
Okay.
She's a small cat. I think she weighed, I think it was 8.2 pounds or something.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then the other thing, and I'm sure the answer is yes. And she has been checked every time she goes to the vet. She's always been checked for fleas, correct?
Oh, absolutely. That's never been an issue. She's an indoor cat too.
Okay, so. Perfect. But again, if the food keeps her well controlled for 6 months, 8 months out of the year, and if she only needs to have a prednisone injection maybe twice a year, that's not bad. That's really not bad. But again, if we can do it with the skin, now you can also go and see a specialist, a dermatologist, and they can do a skin test and find out what exactly she's allergic to, because it may be food.
I think that's all been done.
Oh, they
she
did
has
a
more
skin?
Blood okay. test. Skin test.
Yeah. Oh. Well, the skin test to me, Bob, is the right way to do it. I don't believe in the blood test for the allergies. I think they just don't give us the information we need.
Oh, okay.
I'm all about a skin test, and I'm talking about where there's a little prick underneath the skin, and they test for 40 different things, and you can see from the skin test whether it blebs up, whether it turns into a little hive, and whether she's allergic or not. I will say, so food allergy is different than being allergic to something in her environment. And that's and many times when you have one type of allergy, you have both. And that could be anywhere from a certain blanket. You have to think about those things too. But, and again, so I know we can't cure it. I'm telling you, Bob, but we need to try to make her better because we don't, I don't want her to be miserable.
And then, I don't either. And, you know, sometimes I live by myself. Again, I'm an older retired guy, old fart, as they say. But the thing is,
I don't believe that.
Many nights,
yes.
I go through the night. Sometimes she sleeps on my bed. She's a great lap cat, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
But many, some nights, not many, I would say 2 out of 7 nights during the night, I'll hear the crying. And she'll cry for, you know, 5 seconds, not much, but I can hear it.
Is this after she's been scratching, or what is she crying? She cry for
really
food?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I think it might be after giving the canned food more so than anything else. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Again, as long as if she has a bowl of food that she can just nibble on, I know some cats really enjoy the canned food, but I mean, I would be okay with a canned food if you found a true hypoallergenic diet. I don't believe in just going ahead and just doing one. It's all about just one protein. Even if you fed her, and by that I mean, even if you fed her the canned food with just one protein, only one, and that protein is beef, that to me is not the right canned food to give her. But if you can find a food that the veterinarian really says gives you an A-OK with it, then just stick with those two things. I'm not sure she's crying. If she's not having a real bad scratching fit, I'm not sure she's crying because of the allergies. I think there's something else.
Okay. Here are the canned foods that I.
I'm sure there's a lot of
one
them.
One is Royal canned. This is canned Royal Yeah. Canine Select Protein, a PR, the same thing.
Right. All that's right. The one she doesn't like. Yeah, she doesn't like that. And most that's the first that I recommend. So they recommended the same one I went, but she doesn't eat it, so let's just not worry about that one ever again.
All right, the other one is Instinct Ingredients.
Yeah.
That's another one. That's rabbit.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, when I first hear, that's an interesting thing. So when I first open the can,
yeah,
either one of them,
yep,
she'll eat it.
Yep.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the refrigerator. The next...
Oh, you kind of dropped your call drop for a second. Well, what I recommend is never feeding it cold. If you put
it in
the microwave.
Can.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like a little oil on top of whatever is in the can.
Yep.
She eats it. She grinds it right down.
But she won't eat the pate part of it.
But I'm only giving her, say, a level teaspoon of it. I don't give her the whole thing because I know she's eating the dry food.
Yeah,
right. I give it to her as a treat.
Yes.
And then, but the next day, yep, obviously I refrigerate the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to give her the next day, but she puts her nose up to it.
Do you put it in the do you put it in the microwave for like 5 seconds?
I've tried that. I've tried that one too.
Oh, sometimes I'll add a little water, make that little gravy for her too, because I don't want you to waste it. That one teaspoon, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, I'll try it again. I've done that one too.
Okay.
I'm on the internet all the time, so I look at these suggestions.
Hey, Bob, listen, Bob, what I'm going to do is put you on hold for a second here, because if you want to stay on, because I don't have another caller behind you, but I have to take a quick break, okay?
No problem.
Hold on. Thanks. Yeah, let's go ahead and take that break and we'll be back with more Pet Talk.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and I hope entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm enjoying that music. And I again want to thank Justin Levine for the music and welcome you back and thank you. We've been talking with Bob, which is dealing with a 7-year-old kitty that is completely frustrating with allergies. And I'm sure many of you that are in our listening audience that have pets with allergies can really relate and empathize with what Bob's going through. And I want to talk a little bit about treatment because we've been talking about food for a bit here. And that is, we'll bring Bob back up here, but I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital and happy to be here. And Bob, there's one other drug I wanted to talk about that, and you can tell me if you've already tried it or if it's already been mentioned, okay?
Okay.
And that's the Atopica for cats. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and it didn't work?
The liquid, right?
Yes.
I did that for the first 2 years. And finally, the doctor said, don't waste your money.
Okay, because it wasn't working. Okay. And that's...
It didn't do anything.
All right.
You just put drops in the water, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Well, or you can do it orally, too. And you know, it's best to give it on an empty stomach if you can. But it's truly like the only non-steroidal allergy medicine that we use in cats.
I did do that.
Okay. One thing that I'm going to just offer, and we used to have you're in Waterbury, right? So we used to have a wonderful dermatologist in Plainville that was just excellent. Because again, I think your veterinarian is kind of helping you through all of this, But before I totally gave up and said, I'm just going to do the steroid every 3 months or whatever it is, I like the idea of seeing a specialist, seeing a dermatologist. Danbury is a great, has a couple of hospitals down there. And then there's also one, near Sandy Hook? There's also another, what's the town near Sandy Hook?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that would be one of my suggestions. My total advice, and I know we're jumping around a little bit, I like staying with the same food, not switching around, but also just kind of getting that treatment. That second opinion.
The skin test you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about a dermatologist.
I have an appointment for her in the Burlington Vet. They are wonderful people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have it in September scheduled, so I'm going to ask them if they can do the skin test.
Okay, that would be wonderful. And then the other thing is, are there certain times a year where this seems to be, she has more of a breakout than other times a year? Is it fall? Is it spring?
It's hard for me to judge that one.
All right, that's fair enough.
I never even, thought about it, because it just sort of speaks his ugly face periodically,
It is, and I have, a lot of our kitties with allergies tend to get sores around their face and their ears, and they just self-mutilate. They just scratch their
Yeah, yeah, I'm thankful she doesn't have that one. She's when she gets it real bad, she scratches and checks. It's like I can't even have her sit on my lap because, she's...
Ugh. Really?
It's very uncomfortable for her and for me,
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've tried other things, too. And my last question about what you have and have not done, like we talked about the skin test, have any of those bumps ever been biopsied? When she's at her worst, have we ever had that done where we just took little piece of skin?
I'm not a medical person, so... Okay. But I know they've done a lot of. I go there and they always do skin tests. I don't have a skin test. They do tests and they come back and they're always okay. I don't really know.
Right. Well, one of the reasons why we're having this conversation, Bob, is because I'm trying to arm you with being her best advocate. And so I want you to ask, have we ever done a biopsy of her skin?
Okay. I'm writing these things down.
All right. You want to ask for a biopsy I don't want to tell them what to do. I'm just, you need to, this would help me. And I want you to give me a call back, whether it's in September or October, just to let me know. But that would be, say, have we ever done a biopsy? Because that's not just a skin test that you're sitting there waiting for. They're looking, you have to kind of sedate her, take some skin, send it to the lab, and then it comes back a week later. So I don't think we've had a skin biopsy based on all the things that, because you really are on top of things, Bob. You really know what's been going on. And the other thing would be the actual allergy skin test. Because they do have, I have some of my patients that are getting, so when you do an allergy skin test, say you find the five things that she's allergic to, then we do something what we call immunotherapy, where they make a serum of those things, just like in people. This is what they do with people that are allergic to certain things. And then they have this serum, and I have some that get it by injection, and I have others that it's drops in the mouth, a different kind of drops in the Atopica. And then, so you're like giving them, you build up how much of the allergen you're giving them over time, and that's another way of controlling allergies. The steroid's going to work.
Like a vaccine, right?
Yes, it's almost like a vaccine, exactly. But, you test for 40 things, and then you kind of find out the five things that they're allergic to. I had one cat that was allergic to a human. Yeah, because that's their survival. But they actually ended up using that human dander, and that was part of this cat's serum, and that's what they get. Yeah, so that's hopefully it's something to equip you with. And I think because you've done so much, and it's like, what else can I do here? So hopefully we've given you a few things to ask.
You certainly have, and I really appreciate it. And I wrote these things down. And after I get the information back, I will give you a call sometime in the fall.
I would really love that. And again, I think you're helping so many other people by following through, because this is a tough one.
Thank you, Dr. Dennis. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I think Bob is that, you know, for me, I'm such a, you know, when it comes to pets, I'm such a softie. I think I get so emotional. But that brings tears to my eyes because you can hear how much he cares. You hear him talking about how much he has done. And, you know, it still seems like it's not enough. And that, and you hear her crying in the middle of the night and you think, is that because she's uncomfortable? What's going on? So I do love the care, but again, she can't talk. Bob's going to be her best advocate the next time he goes into the veterinary office and asks these questions. Well, I can't believe we're near the end of the show. I am going to be back in a couple of weeks. I'll be back here live on August 16th. I think that's, I got the numbers correct here. Lori Fass will be here next week. She'll also be live and answering your questions about, you know, dog and cat training, and she'll help guide you with that. I really, really need to thank Kevin for being the producer extraordinaire. He's always here for me. I look forward to catching up with him, but he's the person that you talk to first, puts you in the queue, and he kind of hopefully calms you and makes sure that you're not nervous before you go on the air. I want you all to be very safe. Stay away from anything that looks like pea soup water. Don't you go in it. Don't let your dogs go in it. You make sure you use your heartworm preventative and your flea and tick preventative, and we'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and, I hope, entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.